Tonight's shiur in Parshas Toldos, brought to you by the Weinblatt family of Ramon Pei Chemesh, Leon Yishbas Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Chaim. Pasuk says, "The Yetar Yitzchak Lashem Lenochach Yishto Ki Yakarahi." So the Gemara asks, why is it that we find that the imahos were akaros? So Chazal tell us, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is he loves the tefillah of the tzaddikim. He wants to hear their davening, so he makes them akaros, and then they'd have to daven, you don't have a child, and Hashem loves to hear their tefillahs. Of course, at surface level, it sounds very strange. Why Hashem loves their tefillahs? Shkoyah, thank you very much. You love my tefillahs, because I can't have any kids? It's not fair. I mean, they have to suffer because the Kodesh Baruch Hu loves their tefillahs. So the Chasam Sofer is the following mashal. It says there was once a town that they ran out of water. They had no water. They didn't know what they're going to do. You're not going to live without water. So they said that there's only one solution. They have to dig a very deep, you know, be'er, well, and, you know, come to some water. And the only problem was they didn't have the wherewithal to do such a project, to dig this deep well. So they said, you know, the only person that can do this is a certain gvir. There's a wealthy man in the city, and he's the only one that has the wherewithal to do so. But the problem is that he's not so interested, he's not so excited about the whole project. Why? Because he has water. He's a wealthy man, he's got stored up water in his storehouse. So, nothing's pushing him to take on the project. So one person had an aid, so he said, listen, we have no other choice. We got to break into his storehouse and break all the bottles of water that he has. And then he'll be, you know, put into the corner. He'll have no water himself, and he'll have to, you know, dig the well, and then it'll save us all. Says the Chasam Sofer, same thing over here, that it wasn't a personal thing. If the imahos would have had children, so it would have been hard for them to daven for so much for that women should be able to give birth. Why? Because they have. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu withheld from them the children, so that they don't have to daven, but they're davening. Once they daven, their tefillahs will be good for everybody. Like we see that, in fact, it says that when Nesari Meinu was a nifkada, when she was answered, and many, many akaras were answered as well. So it's through their tefillahs, not just for them. Hashem wants them to daven, because their tefillahs will help for everybody. It says, so we said, Ve'yetar Yitzchak Hashem L'nochach Yishto. Why was it important that Yitzchak davened in the presence of his wife? L'nochach Yishto. So the Maharal Diskin says that Chazal tell us that when you're davening for a person, a sick person, whatever, that normally we mention their name. However, if you're in their presence, so then you don't have to mention their name. You're davening, they're right next to you. You don't have to say their name. It's only if they're not not around you, then you mention their name. Meili says, Yitzchak Avinu was not interested in mentioning Rivka's parents. You know, Rivka bas Bisuel, you know, that's a tefillah, you know. So therefore, he made sure he was davening L'nochach Yishto in her presence, so he wouldn't have to mention a name. Furthermore, said that Yitzchak himself, he knew, he said, look, Mistama, I'm going to have a child. Why? My father, Avram, you know, has promised. Verbed Zaracha, etc. You know, Avram's going to have a lot of children. So, Mistami said, I'm going to have children. However, I want to have children with Rivka, not just have children with anybody. And therefore, he made sure to daven L'nochach Yishto, as if to say that no, it's not Stam I want to have. I want to have children with this woman over here. L'nochach Yishto. It says, find Rivka got pregnant, and v'yisrotzetzu habanim bekirba, v'tomrim kein lamaze anochi, v'telech lidroshas Hashem. So she was having terrible pains, right? These twins were inside of her, whatever, and she didn't know what was going on. Terrible pain, so she goes to find out. And she's told in Nevuah, Yomer Hashem la, shnei goyim v'vineich, you have two nations over here, shnei lumim yayichi paredu, lo mil mas, v'rav yavot seir, etc. So, son named Rav Chaim Hyman, he says, very strange, you know, here's this woman, like she's in tremendous pain, she's going, oh, what's going on over here, whatever. So what do we tell her? It's Nevuah. You know, thank you very much. That's what you're telling me? I'm in pain over here. You tell me it's a Nevuah. So he says, no, the Nevuah was in order to get rid of the pain. So how so? Because what was Nevuah? Verav Yavod Sair. Right? That the older one is going to have to serve the younger one. So therefore what? Originally, they were all, each one was fighting to get out. This one wanted to get out. This one, each one wanted to get out. So that's why he starts to bring him gush. He's in pain. He doesn't want to get out. But then, once they heard the nevuah, that the older one's going to have to serve the younger one, then, oh, it's okay, here, fakasha, you go first. No, you go first. Mele, that was a, that calmed things down in the nevuah itself. Okay. It says that, Esav came from the, came back from the field, and, pasuk over here, came back, he was ayef, he said, please give me from this red stuff. I'm tired. And because of this incident, he was called Edom. So, San from Shalom Shvadran, that's all, he asked the three questions here. Says, first of all, he says lentils are not red. Well, they are red, but once they get cooked, they become green. So what's it? Why is it? Give me another red stuff. It was not. It cooked lentils are not red; they're green. Question number one. Question number two is that what Alkein Karashimo Edom, right? What was he called? Edom. The idea. His name was called after to show that how much of a Baal Taiva he was. You know, oh, give me this, whatever. But Edom, that's not because it happens to be red. That shows who he really is. You know, because he asked for something red. What shows that he was a Baal Taiva? And he said, Halitaini, not, right? Halitaini, give it, let's stick it down my throat. That shows us who he was, is that he was a Baal Taiva, you know, Halitaini. So he should have been called Tony, or something, you know, Halitaini, not, you know, Edom. Edom, because he had... And third question is, that we find it's very strange. Yaakov, Esav, we know, does not speak politely. Right, Rashi brings down that Yaakov said when Yaakov was speaking to his father, he says kumna, right, shva. He said lashon na, na is a petition, is bakasha, please, you know, please. And whereas Esav, he doesn't say, he says yakumavi, didn't say na, he doesn't say the word na. Esav's not a guy that says please, he says please and thank you, right? So yet here, very strange. Here was bringing out how much of a Baal Taiva is Halitaini Na. All of a sudden, he's like speaking nicely. Please, please, give what's the please for? So he answers the following. He says, Halitaini Na, Na here, perhaps doesn't mean please like it usually does. It comes from the Lashon of the Korban Pesach. But at Korban Pesach, it says, you're not allowed to eat it, al tochal mimenu Na. What does Na mean? Not cooked properly. Like raw. Mimele, with this, all the questions are answered. Meaning, when he was saying, Halitaini na, please give me, he says, give me some of this raw stuff. Now we can understand why it's adom adomezet. Because we said, because the shim, the lentils, when they're on the raw state, they're in fact red. And why does that show is him being a Baal Taiva? Because he was a Baal Taiva, he couldn't wait. So give it to me now. Wait a minute, Esav, it's cooking, you know, still red. I don't know. I tell you, I mean, Adom, Adom, give it to me now. Give it to me raw. Adom, Adom, Adom. Well, it's still Adom. Hamemela, that's why. Alkein Karashimo Edom. Because Edom, Dafka, the being red, is that shows that how he was a Baal Taiva. He wanted it red when it was still in the raw state before it was cooked. Fine. So then it says... V'yachov nasan le'isav, lechem unizid adashim, bread and the adashim, v'yochal v'yesh, he ate, he drank, got up and left, etc. So very strange, why? We just said, that what did Esav ask for? Le'iteni namina doma doma, give me the lentils. What are the lentils? So what does it say? Yaakov gave him lechem unizid, he gave him bread and adashim. Where's the bread? He didn't ask for bread. Where sends anything about bread? He wanted the lentils. He gave him the nizid adashim, but where's the lechem come from? So, Safar of Levinstein, he goes following mashal. So the guy is traveling the desert, and he's hot, he's thirsty, he ran out of food, he ran out of drink. He says, that's it, I'm dying, I have nothing, no food, no drink, whatever. And then he sees, thinks it's an oasis, he sees all of a sudden this like hotel in the middle of the desert. He goes, can't be, this is a dream. So he runs there, sure enough. It's like a hotel in the middle of the desert. He goes, oh, lifesaver, you know. He runs in, and a restaurant there, you know, he sits down. He says, waiter, quick. He says, what? He says, I have to eat, I have to drink, quick, give me something. He says, please, here, take my, make the menu. So he picks up the menu. Huh, He almost faints on the spot. Not from his hunger. Listen to the prices. He couldn't believe it. He goes, what? A cup of water, $100? You can never. What, are you crazy? And a main course, $500. And this dessert, $300. Well, yeah, what's going on over here? He says, listen, you know, we're in the middle of the desert. You know, what do you want? So he says, you're a bunch of ganavim. I just listen, the door's over there. You want to eat? Isn't tight? No one ate. You can go. He goes, oh, you know, we had to eat, you know. So he ate and he drank, whatever. So he finishes. He says, okay, waiter, can I have the bill, please? So he hands him the bill. You know, you can imagine what the bill was. So he's not fazed, and he just gets up to leave. He says, oh, where are you going? He said, I'm leaving. He said, well, you didn't pay the bill. He goes, I don't have to pay the bill. He goes, why not? He says, it's pikuach nefesh. I came in here, I was dying of thirst, I'm hungry, whatever. I was dying, I had to eat. So it's pikuach nefesh, so I don't have to pay. He goes, I have seder. We have a rav for these situations. Come with me. So they go to the rav, and the rav hears the case, and he says, you have to pay. You have to pay. He says, why do I have to pay? I don't understand. I'm pikuach nefesh. He says, yeah. He says, for the first course, you're pikuach nefesh. You come in. But right after you start eating a little bit, you weren't pikuach nefesh anymore. You kept on eating, despite you knew what the prices were. So now pay for it. Mimele, it's the same thing over here. Right? Yaakov Avinu is worried. What? He wants these dashim. He comes in, he's done. Give me. He has to eat pikuach nefesh. He says, I know, I'm going to give him the lentils to eat. And afterwards, he's going to say, I don't know, the sale of the bechor is bakla. Why? It was pikuach nefesh. Mele, he gave him a first course, gave him some lechem with the nashim. So once he ate a little bit, got full lechem, he's not pikuach nefesh anymore. And mele, he kind of a taina that he ate pikuach nefesh and the sale wasn't a good sale. Something on the cute side. It says, there's a maisa with the Rav Aharon Mibels. So he used to live in Tel Aviv, and the street he used to live on was Rechov Achad Ha'am. That's the name of the street in Tel Aviv. And Rechov Achad Ha'am, so who was Achad Ha'am? Achad Ha'am was one of the leaders of the Maskilim, right? So he wasn't so interested in, in mentioning the name or writing the name or whatever. And so pasuk says, "Vayomer Rabbi Melech, Mazos Asisolanu, Kimat Shachav Achad Ha'am et Ishtecha Beveis Aleinu Hashem." So we have mention of Achad Ha'am. So when he used to write a letter, he used to write on the return address number one, Kimat Shachav. You don't have to mention Achad Ha'am. Reminds me, mentioned the names of the streets named after people. I'll forget once, many years ago, I was with my son when he was little. We're walking in Bnei Brak, so we're walking on the on the street, whatever. And he turns to me and he says, "Abba," he says, "I can't believe it. I don't understand." I said, "What?" He says, "How could they put Rabbi Akiva's name on the garbage cans?" Because they have these garbage dumps. They put, their number 16, Rabbi Akiva. They write it. Couldn't believe it. Rabbi Akiva on a garbage dump. Anyway, this sort of Aharon Bells, he was known to be very, he was very big on being melamed zchus, on people. And they say that on Shabbos, when the car, lived in Tel Aviv, a car would go by on Shabbos, he used to, wave at the driver and used to say, "Mazal tov, mazal tov." Why? Because he said, he must be going to the hospital with his wife to give birth, Mazalta. So one Shabbos, he's walking on the street, and his big truck, comes barreling down the street. So he goes, "Mazalta, Mazalta," So his Shabbos turns to him and goes, "Rebbe, come on. I mean, that's a truck." He says, "Okay, so what?" So he couldn't find a car, a little car to take his wife to the hospital. So what? Mazalta. Okay. It says in the pasuk here, right? Okay, after the brachas now. So it says that Yitzchak Avinu told Esav, to bring me the food or whatever, so I can give you a bracha. And it says Rivka Shomas Bedaber Yitzchak et Nadei. So she heard, this conversation between her husband Yitzchak and Esav. Vayelach, and he went with whatever. Rivka, she said, "So Yaakov, hine." Shamati Adavicha Medaber, I heard that your brother was speaking. I heard that your brother was speaking to your father, etc. and to bring him food and get a bracha, and therefore I want you to, you know, take his place, etc. So they point out that we see from here that Kadosh Baruch Hu allows tzaddikim to hear what they're supposed to hear when they're supposed to hear. In other words, she's probably never heard her husband speaking to somebody, you know, in private, you know, but all of a sudden her ears happen to, you know, catch this conversation. So she says it's probably no coincidence. If I heard this, it must be that there's a reason for it, and therefore it's, you have to take the brachas. That's a shtichl medayik even, because she says, use the lashon of hine. You know, hine shamati, hine is a hine leya. Hine is like a lashon of a surprise. And she was a little bit shocked. She says, you know, I don't normally hear, you know, a private conversation my husband has with people. But hine shamati, I heard. Oh, hine. I mean, that means there's a reason for it. And therefore, it must be that you're supposed to take the brachas. There was once a woman, she came to this Admor. And she was crying. She says, my husband ran away from me, and I don't know where he is, whatever. Rebbe, you have to help me. So he says, go to the Beis Knesses HaOrchim, the name of the shul, and he'll find him over there. She's like, wow, can't believe it. So she runs to the shul there. Sure enough, there he is. She says, Moifes, it's unbelievable. You can't believe it. So she goes back to the Rebbe and says, the Rebbe, you know, what a Moifes, I can't believe it. You know, you know that he's like, obviously, you know, Ruach HaKodesh, right? He goes, no, not Ruach HaKodesh. I said, why? He says, you know, I'm always Osek Baruch Hashem in Torah and learning. I never hear, you know, people talking in their shtiyot and this and that and their discussions. I'm always Osek in Torah. But happened to be today, this morning, I was walking to shul or whatever, and it's a basic matter. And my ears happened to hear that this guy was saying to his friend, he says, oh, I heard this new guy came to town and he's in the base, the Knesset Orchim, you know. And so I thought to myself, why am I hearing this? I never hear things. Some guy, this new guy's here in the shul. I didn't understand it. Now you came to me and said, oh, I lost my husband, where is he? I said, oh, that must be it. Shem's sending me this. He's in there. Sure enough, that's where he was. Rav Reuven Karelenstein Shlita, he says that when he was younger, he was learning in Yerushalayim by Rav Aaron Turchin, and he tells a story similar, that there was a Talmud in the yeshiva that went to his sister's chasana. So fine, comes back and he asks Rishus from the Rosh Yeshiva if he can also go next night home because his mother was making Sheva Brachos, you know, for his daughter. So he said, no, you know, you took one day off of learning is enough, you know, you don't need the Sheva Brachas, you can stay here learning. He says, oh, but the Rebbe, my mother, I'm sure you know, she's an almana, and she needs my help, you know, for the thing, setting up and this, whatever. So he said, no, it's more important you sit in learning, I don't want you to take another day off and stay and learn. Okay, fine, Rosh Yeshiva says, fine. So next day, you know, he stays in Yeshiva, everything. All of a sudden, after Mincha, Rosh Yeshiva comes up to him, and he says to the Bachar, go home immediately. He says, okay, you know, people go to the Sheva Brachas, you know. He says, very strange. He thought, no, don't go. Fine, all of a sudden, go. Okay. So he goes to the house. And as he's approaching the house, he sees there's like a commotion, like in front of the house. People running in and out, there, whatever. So he comes there and he says, what's going on? He goes, oh, your mother, she was eating something, got stuck in her throat, and she's choking to death. And he goes, oh, yeah, I happen to know first aid or whatever. I took a, you know, MADA course or whatever. And he goes, here, let me, you know, in. And he runs in and he does the Heinrich maneuver, whatever it is, and saves his mother's life. So he saw that, wow, again, Mofes, you know, for some reason the Rosh Hashiva knew this was going to happen, so he sent me home to save my mother's life. So he came back and he told the Rosh Hashiva what happened. He says, Ruach HaKodesh, wow, Rebbe, I can't imagine. I didn't know you had Ruach HaKodesh. He says, no, not Ruach HaKodesh. He says, what? He says, I'll tell you. He says, Baruch Hashem, he says, I've worked on myself for a long time. And I got to the Madrega where no strange thoughts come into my mind when I'm davening Shemoneh Esrei. It's Kulo Shemoneh Esrei, I don't think about anything else the whole Shemoneh Esrei. Every time. All of a sudden, out of the blue, first time, this whole Indian of yours, they know it's here, going to the Shemoneh Esrei, on Mincha, just like, got into my mind. I said, there must be a reason for it. Kulo Shemoneh Esrei is sending me a message. It never happens. I never think about other things in Shemoneh Esrei. Must be that for some reason you have to go home, so I sent you home, and sure enough, that's what happened. Okay, one last word. It says, I find a very, very funny thing with the brachas. Yaakov Avinu, fine, he goes and brings the food, etc. comes in dressed as Esav, and brings the fruit of the father, etc. So the pasuk says, let's get to. Okay, so it says in the pasuk, "Vigash Yaakov al Yitzhak." Fine, he says, "Oh, kol Yaakov yanaim Esav, loikira, etc." And so he gives them to eat and drink, whatever. He brings the food to him. Then he says, "Yomer love Yitzhak aviv gashana, I want to kiss you, whatever, or kiss me." Vayigash vishach lo vayachreich, etc. Vayivarcheu. Says vayivarcheu, gives him a bracha. Vayomer reirech, etc., etc. So. Before this, so here that then what's the bracha? V'yitein l'chayel, the whole bracha. So that's fine. Except what's strange is that earlier on, where do we see it? Where is the pasuk? Here it is. Below Hikiro, ki ayu yadav, he didn't recognize him because he felt like Esav, and vayevarcheu, and he gave him a bracha. It was very strange. First of all, a minute ago he said a kol kol Yaakov yadav yaday Esav, meaning there's something's wrong over here. And he sounds like Yaakov, but he feels like Esav. So suffic, don't know. Then it said vayevarcheu, and he gave him a bracha. Why is he giving a bracha? He was a suffix. He's giving a bracha. Second of all, what is this bracha? We said afterwards, who are you? He says, I'm Esav, etc. And then he gives him a drink, whatever. And then it says, V'yitenlach, and he gives him the bracha. The bracha came later. So what was this V'yivarcheyu? What was this bracha? That wasn't the bracha. The V'yitenlach, the bracha came later. So the Gan Raveh says, very nice. So what happens as follows. Yitzchak, He was worried that there might be some funny business going on over here, who was going to be who. And sure enough, kol kol Yaakov yadayim yayin Esav. So he had an idea. He says, I'm going to find out, because he was besafek, kol kol Yaakov yadayim yayin Esav. So he said that he had an idea. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give a bracha, but not the real bracha. It's not a made up bracha. Then the person in front of me is going to think he got the bracha. And then I can say, okay, it's all over, now you can really tell me who you are. If he says, what do you mean, why? I'm really Esav, good, so then I'll say, good, now I'll give you the real bracha. And if I find out it's really Yaakov that's disguising as Esav, so then I'll say, you see, you thought you got the bracha, I didn't really give you the bracha, I'm going to go to Esav and get the real bracha. Okay? So that was his plan. So Yivarcheu was, the first Yivarcheu was, this is fake bracha. So he gives him the bracha. And then sure enough, right after Vivarchiv said, Yomer, Ataze bini Esav? Okay, it's all over. You got your bracha. Right? So now, are you really, now you can tell me, now you can be honest with me. Right? Are you really Esav? So he says, yeah, Yomer Ani, I am. So he says, okay, fine, then bring me the food, etc. No, I give you bracha, and he gives him the real bracha. So that was the setup. It's interesting that, but why did, how did Yaakov know not to, say, okay, thank you for the bracha, but it's really me. Why didn't he say that? Why did he keep the play going, and he said, are you Esav? And he said, yeah, and he continued it until he really did get the bracha. They say that because he heard from his mother that the bracha is totally in food. He says, bring me the food, and bring my father's, or your father said to bring the food, and then in order to give the bracha. So he said, wait a minute, my father gave a bracha, but he didn't take the food. He says, something's fishy over here, Yaakov said. It must be that it is not the real bracha, and he's just testing it. So therefore, Mela, this continued on the show, and he says, I'm Esav, etc. And then he says, Vayomer, Hagish Aliva, Chlam Mitzay Benig, now give me the food, Laman Avarechacha. He says, oh, good, now this is it. You see, I knew it. He didn't give me the food yet, that wasn't the real bracha. Now he said, give me the food, so I can give you the bracha, and then he gave me, that's what Yaakov knew. So Hashem, he should be zoicha to all the brachas that of Yaakov Avinu, and be a hemshech neman for all our avos, and be zoicha to be a skol tzedek v'mehirah v'mehirah.